This episode is brought to you by Rain Clothing.
That's R-A-N-E Clothing. Check them out on Facebook. Check out their roster of bands as well.
Rain Clothing, on a mission for music.
This is Mandy Lee, and you are listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week is a very different show because it's going to be the first time where I'm probably going to disagree with our guest in everything. Please welcome to the show Level 9 improviser, stand-up comedian, and a member of the Lousy Weather Media Network as part of the C4 Cavs cast, Chris Clem.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, El Jordano.
Thank you.
Chris, why do you hate Chris Clem?
I don't know if I have a good reason why, but he's kind of an asshole.
Kind of an asshole?
It's like, you know, everybody has probably their own, like, I'm sure maybe everybody here, I don't want to diagnose anybody. We probably had problems with depression or anxiety or things higher than that.
Check, yes. check.
So that's like just regular stuff. I mean, having depression or anxiety, that's just like, you know, a lot of performers do and have that. But I don't know, for some reason, I just always think like I'm not good enough for stuff.
All right. Well, that isn't necessarily a mark of self-hatred. I think that just makes you your own worst critic.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, maybe self-hatred's not the right word. This is going to sound sappy when we're just getting started. But, like, I know no matter how much I think I hate myself at times, like, my wife would leave me if I was really as bad as I thought I was.
So your wife staying with you is like the gauge of how well you're doing as a human being. Yeah. Like the second Kristen goes, it's like, well, I was right.
Yeah, probably 100%.
I'm curious though. Shear introduced you as a level 9 improviser. I mean, I don't know much about improv or anything like that. But is that like a black belt? Or is that just the name of the group?
I feel like Jeremy's got his own ranking system that I can't even decipher.
No, it's been an old running gag for about 6 years. You know, basically, and this is why I hate you.
see if you guys can agree on this one.
In order to do improv, you have to pay for classes. And then the more classes that you pay for, the better you get at improv. So since Chris has paid for a lot of classes, he's level 9 improviser.
When are you leveling up again?
Financially speaking, that might be a while.
Yeah, there's you live in Chicago now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like it out there?
No. I mean, it's all right. Yeah. That's another thing. I feel like I have to justify myself to people people I don't know or don't like, and I'm like, I don't necessarily like any of the decisions I've ever made with my life. I don't want to justify them to you. I constantly deal with second guessing if whether I should go by my childhood nickname as my real name all the time, because I don't know.
You don't know if you should be CJ all the time?
I feel like maybe I should. Things haven't worked out so far. Let's switch it up.
See, but the thing is like, all right, so I listened to, like, my first, like, dose of Chris Clem was when you were on Lousy Weather Show, the main show. that you were accused of being a bully. I feel like CJ would be the name of a bully. Like, Chris Klemm doesn't sound like a bully. CJ sounds like a fucking bully.
Maybe he was. Maybe that's the issue.
Still undecided on that?
I wasn't.
I don't think you were a bully.
I don't think I was a bully at all. I just think I was probably mean without meaning to be.
You were practical.
That's, I guess, the point is, like, I know what I think about every time I do something in my head. So I feel like it's probably, I don't sugarcoat it for myself. So why would I sugarcoat it for somebody else that I don't even necessarily like?
That's
like,
how
there's
I am
a lot
too.
Of stupid, irritating people, and I can't just shut my mouth and let it go all the time, because it's, once you've been alive for long enough, it just goes away, that filter. And for me, it was probably like when I was 4.
So like, now that you're saying that, though, I kind of feel like you don't hate yourself as much as you hate everybody else.
I mean, maybe.
Fair enough.
I guess, yeah, that could be, honestly. I guess I want things to be a certain way, and since they never are, I blame myself. But really, it is everybody else's fault.
Dude, I've been saying the same thing for years.
Yeah. I actually, now you just made me think of something else. I love my dad. We have a great relationship. But he tends to be the type of person that blames other people for his problems. So I probably have overcompensated my whole life. So whenever anything has gone wrong, it's because I am a failure, or I am horrible, or I should just kill myself, whereas it might actually be somebody else's fault sometimes.
Dude, maybe we should be each other's therapists, because, like, I'm the same exact way, where it's like, I wouldn't say the same things with my dad. My dad doesn't blame his problems on anybody else. At least not that I might be oblivious to that.
I'm not saying he's horrible by that, but well, definitely noticed, like, this happened, and it's like, well, maybe, yeah.
Maybe you're the asshole. I'm the same way, because, like, I refuse to blame any of my problems on anybody. Like, I take full blame for every bad mistake that I've ever made or anything bad that's happened to me. I can always trace it back to something I did, you know? But
yeah, I've taken responsibility for other people's sexual assaults. So,
that's
another.
That's like taking, like, that's like, I'll, like, that's like in, like, the social justice warrior area that we're living in, That's like going to prison for somebody else that committed a crime.
Yeah, I feel really shitty about, like, it's. That's how I cope with things. If, like, it doesn't make any sense and it can somehow be my fault, I will make it my fault, because somehow it's easier for me to cope with it that way.
I mean, it is easy for some reason to dislike yourself or blame yourself for things, because that way you are keeping it contained, and it's almost like you're not affecting anybody else if it's your fault.
Yeah, that is the case.
Even though in that case, it's literally not. It is other people affecting other people.
Yeah. But it's just, I had a talk with a friend of mine who said, no, like, you can't blame yourself for this. Like, it's technically my fault. So her whole thing is like, no, everything can be traced back to me. But she doesn't actually feel that way. It's just like, if you want to look at things like that, like, we can go that direction, and bang, now it's all my fault.
Well, people can, I mean, I think people in general have a way of doing that, where they just, like, they can redirect anything they need to in any way they need to. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what it is, wherever you want to place the blame is where you're going to end up placing the blame.
A coping mechanism.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I think in that situation, we can blame sexual assaults on the people who did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of whatever other knowledge, it's always that person's who did it.
It wasn't my extremities, it was that person's extremities.
Yeah, that is true. It's just a recent, but I found that I do the same thing, where it's like, if I, you know, I don't want to blame other people for, like, my own shit, even when it's clearly other people's fault that something happened. Like, you know, there was a recent example a couple of years ago where I refused to blame the person that literally fucked me out of $500. for what happened. I was like, no, that's not what happened. I pissed off this person, and that's why I lost $500. But that's not what happened.
It's somehow easier to blame your behavior than it is to assume that people are just bad people.
Yeah. Well, you know, admittedly, I have done some terrible things, so...
Me too. Everybody has in their own way. Yeah. I mean...
So...
I feel like... That's why I
Chris
feel
is like, I've never done anything terrible.
I shouldn't hate myself, because I'm sure people would call, or if there's no, like, hotline ringing, like, a public access show, get one of those big phones and press the red button.
687-3515.
But I can't think of something I've done where I've directly harmed somebody.
I can.
Oh, okay.
I can. There was that time where this Popeye forearm git from Stark County wandered into the professor's pub with some buckets and played a little song with his buckets in between his jokes. And he had a metal trash can that was never touched.
Did you Cactus Jack his ass?
No.
Damn.
What ended up happening is, instead of what normally happens after a comedy set where somebody, you know, leaves the stage and the MC comes up, Chris Klemm saunters up onto the stage with some note cards and trashes this guy into oblivion, and he disappeared for a while, not reappearing again until a show down in New Philadelphia with Tim Danko, where he reappeared with a lady, and I spent 10 minutes continuing the job, and he has since disappeared.
That was a show that he was on, or he asked to be on, and he asked if I was on it before he would come out to it. Which I guess is a big strike in the bully category.
Yeah, it really is.
I would agree with you. I mean, if I saw somebody doing the same thing, I would do the same thing, but... Yeah, a little bit.
There was actually an audience at the show, so in my eyes, it was less running him out of comedy as it was saving the show.
I was going to say doing them a favor.
No, it was Chris was saying what was on everybody's mind.
If you could have been in the room, the awkwardness was, what do they say, palpable?
Yeah.
You could feel it, really, just looking around like, is this guy really... doing this?
Well, I mean, what has the internet been saying? Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a heroic effort, but you definitely you bullied him out of comedy, and then I finished the job. So.
Tag team champions.
You say you were like the New Day of being mean. That's what we are.
Well, we really were, because there's more.
No, wait, there's more.
Many years ago at the Eurogyro open mic.
I feel like this podcast is going to get people to actually hate
me. Dude, that's why we're here.
You may agree with our guest. These are reasons you can hate him. I look upon these memories fondly. Dan Brown came, well, the first of all, just so it's clear that I'm all about naming names, the guy that we bullied out of comedy, his name is Matt Karp, and he sucks. All right. And you can find him on YouTube and see for yourself. Second of all, Dan Brown, comedian and nerd extraordinaire and cosplayer.
Fellow John Cena fanatic.
He's a huge John Cena fanatic. And soon to be married, hopefully. He's been
that's in, like, the most grim thing ever. Soon to be married, hopefully.
Well, I mean, he's been engaged for a while, so and his fiance is a wonderful lady. But
yeah, I mean, all engagements are one of those things where once it gets past year two, it's like,
are we gonna do this?
Yeah.
So
I've never had anybody like me that much, so it's all good.
Never mind. We won't.
Besides Jeremy Shear.
Yeah, I'm already married, buddy.
I know. Yeah. Gotta break you guys up.
Don't do that. I need that man. You can say what you want about my husband. He keeps me sane. So, Eurogyro open mic. I want to say 2009. this happened.
That sounds about right.
Dan Brown gets on stage, and he's feeling froggy, and said, I've never been heckled before. Somebody heckle me. To which Chris and I answered the challenge, and then we didn't stop for about a month.
We ruined some shows.
Man, we ruined a lot of shows. We just go get drunk and yell at people.
He was like, he proved the secret to be true, though, because he said, I wish someone would heckle me, and the universe brought us to him.
So not only did he get his wish, he got the creme de la creme.
It was pretty brutal.
Yeah, we tore him apart, and then we tore some other people apart.
If anybody's keeping tally, you can put that in the bully column as well. However, he asked for it.
He did ask for it. The next 15 shows did not.
Yeah, no, they didn't ask for it. We were on a roll.
It was like 2 minutes in. If it was going bad, one of us would just start yelling.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, I think that even carried into the funny stop, which that should not have happened.
You guys heckled him like that at a club?
Oh, we heckled everybody.
Every show. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't just him.
For him that night, and we were like, wow, this was so much fun. And pretty much whenever somebody was, like I said, 2 minutes in their set, getting no laughs, it was...
And so, you guys were getting stage time, too, that night?
Yeah.
So you were taking your stage time and other people's stage time.
Yeah. We were basically Statler and Waldorf. Yeah,
you guys are fucking heroes.
We were the Muppets in a different form. Mm-hmm. And we were much meaner than them.
Yeah.
We were like, get off the stage, you goofball!
For sure, that's more like, get off the stage, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, it was pretty much like, what will happen first? You make the audience laugh or you kill yourself.
Yeah, it was, man, those were times.
It was a great time.
Yeah, that didn't end for a while. And
it did go on many weeks.
Yeah, and that was back when... you know, you were around, so it was like we were hitting the grind.
Yeah,
so.
We were on enough. At all the same shows.
Yeah. So it was just, it was nuts. And we couldn't be stopped. And that's the problem. Like when I get on a roll like that and when Chris gets on a roll, like there's nobody that can take us.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was.
We can both be very cruel, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we went back-to-back at the Pete Roast.
Yeah.
And I thought it was one of the better parts of the show.
I would agree. Most of the audience consensus and a lot of the performers, we were definitely in the top third of that show.
Yeah, that was fun. There was a lot of fun memories from that show, but... you know, I think...
you're talking about the roast of the dude from the Funny Stop, right?
Yeah.
Which happened not long ago, correct?
Yeah.
A month ago, yeah.
Okay. Funny Stop, just for anybody listening not from the area, is a comedy club in Cuyahoga Falls, right? Which is a subset of Akron. Yeah. So if you're ever in the area, which if you're ever in Cuyahoga Falls, you might as well kill yourself, but... I don't like the falls. I have bad memories in the falls.
I worked at a grocery store in the falls for like 3 years.
Which one?
It was a small one called Stutzman's Byright. It was on Bailey Road.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
No, so I got plenty of things I could say about Cuyahoga Falls, and I wouldn't disagree with
anything. Let's just not talk about Cuyahoga Falls.
Yeah. If you are in the area, though, the Funny Stop is open Wednesday through Saturday for all your stand-up comedy needs. Wednesday has now become a bringer show, which, good for Pete. He has finally gotten so lazy that he doesn't even mask the fact that you need to bring people anymore.
Don't you have to work clean there?
If you are emceeing, yes.
Oh, okay. So it's not like everybody... has to work.
That's most places.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. But, like, somebody had told me one time that when you work there, like, when you first start there, that you have to work clean. And I was just like, when I was doing comedy more, I was like, there's no way I could do that. I don't know how not to swear.
Yeah. That's basically how it works there. It's when you first start out, Pete will tell you, don't be dirty. Don't do bar comedy. It'll ruin you. Anthony Savatt and Ramon Rivas and Bill Squire are ruining comedy because they do shows in bars.
Bill Squire's okay now.
No, he's
on the radio. It's fine.
Yeah. Bitches about Bill.
Never mind. We don't need to go there.
Yeah.
Never mind.
But at any rate, so there's a reason. Here's another fun fact about Chris Klemm. He moved to Chicago to pursue improv.
Yeah, I guess that's definitely a reason to hate me.
I was gonna say, is that a reason you hate yourself, or are you all about it?
I definitely think every day, like, why did I do this? Not every day, but there's definitely weeks where things will be going good, and then there's weeks where this is the biggest mistake I've ever done in my life. You're an idiot. Why would you even do this? You wasted your entire life doing this.
Well, I mean, there are some great things that have happened because you're in Chicago. I'm cueing the great things that have happened.
The worst bout of depression of my life. Okay. My weight fluctuating between really fat and semi-fat. losing a lot of... some good stuff has happened. I suddenly got respect from the Cleveland Improv because I was an out-of-towner.
Yeah.
You had to move away from Cleveland.
That's how it works,
that,
though.
That really... Yeah. It was like, oh, you moved? Hey, we'll book you now.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's that. You moved, and now you can headline at the Funny Stop, and you can MC at the Cleveland Improv.
That did it. That was worth it for that.
Yeah. Now just Hilarities. You made it. Hilarities has to feature you, and it'll all be good.
And I'll be set.
Yeah. You can headline. You can get a guest spot for Kirk Bogus this week at Bonkers.
I'm still looking for him in the Avengers.
Yeah.
I paused that Blu-ray and done freeze frame for a lot of it.
You find Kirk Robinson in there?
Spider-Man 3.
Oh, he's in Spider-Man 3. That's right.
The worst one? Well, no, minus no, the Andrew no, Garfield no. ones.
The third best one.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. As of it. Right until Homecoming comes out.
Yeah.
Which looks sweet.
Here's a reason to hate Chris Klemm. He used to close by drawing a caricature.
It was a picture of Spider-Man.
Yeah, which worked for some reason.
I still like that bit.
I mean, it's a good bit.
I'll bring it back sometime. The thing is, when you wanted do improv, that you realize, and this is part of the reason why it makes me hate myself, is that depending on who is your teacher or where you're taking classes, there's no actual like clear criteria of what constitutes someone being good or someone being awful.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot like independent comedy shows, a lot of it depends on like who is hanging out. Which, if I would have known that before I moved, I might have just not decided to learn more about improv, because some of the people I hate hanging out with the most are improvisers.
Hmm. That is problematic when you want to do improv.
Yeah. And then there's some that I like. There's people I like a lot and I'm friends with. But overall, I hate it. And I didn't and won't. Usually hang out.
Yeah. Do you think and this seems to have been a problem for a long time, where you just won't nut up and deal with it?
Yeah. Which is a good reason to hate myself.
Yeah. What's it gonna take for you to get over that? Because I mean, you know, you made the move, buddy. You know, you might as well go in.
Well, now I'm just gonna wait till I move again. That's the thing. I can think of a lot of things in my life where being your own worst enemy, and usually I'd figure out a point where it'd be like, okay, now I have to do it. But then sometimes I'm just like, well, it's too late. So you might as well just feel sorry for yourself.
Is that why you don't do stand-up in Chicago?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, because...
When I've gotten, like, spots at, like, Zany's and stuff, do that. But other than that, I'm just, like...
Not hitting mics and shit.
I hate open mics.
Dude, so do I.
I mean, you get to a point where it's just like, what's the fucking point?
After running one, I was like, this sucks. Like, this fucking sucks. Like, that was what did it for me. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
I also didn't want it, like, a really shitty area in Cleveland with a lot of fucking horrible people around, so.
Yeah.
That might have something to do with it. I don't know.
I just think the best part about the Rowley Inn, the Rowdy Rowley comedy, is the worst thing that happened at that show was a night where you weren't even running it or booking it.
No, I wasn't even asked if it was okay. Ramon just brought his crew in and did his fucking thing, and somebody got shot that night.
That's what you get, fucker.
I wasn't there to protect.
Well, I mean, that's the sign of a good host. People get shot when you're not there.
Yeah. Yeah, that is something to remember. Yeah, what is stopping you from, you know, the Pretty Swell show was a moderate success. What's to stop you from doing something like that in Chicago?
I don't have any friends or, like, a base of people. I mean, that's the thing. When you do something that works, you got to have an audience and stuff. But if you know, okay, worst case scenario, I can get 15 people to show up no matter what. And then whoever else shows up is great. That makes you able to do more things, because then it'd be like, okay, so if I promote this or, like, bought a Facebook ad or go pass out flyers, whatever, could get 3 more people in or whatever, build on to what it was, or people that came to the last show and liked it, or, you know. It's hard to start from zero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know some comics, but it's like, I don't have a real vested interest in establishing relationship, or I don't have any with them. And, I guess, I don't know.
I mean, what?
It sounds like you're, like, in my head right now. And I'm giving the same bullshit answers I give to myself.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, he's going to have an internal monologue in a week, and he's going to be like, shut up, Jeremy. I mean, Chris.
That's not that far from how it would be now. What would Jeremy do? That's my WWJD.
Perfect. Yeah.
The guy who's wearing the call your crew, not the cop's hat.
Yeah.
It's a sound philosophy.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
My crew's never given me a ticket.
My crew's never put me in handcuffs.
Mine has.
But I liked it.
Mm-hmm. And a straitjacket. And locked me in a room. But I asked for that. I mean...
The cops never ate mushrooms at my bachelor party.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's a reason for me to hate myself. That was a dumb idea.
No, that was just a sheer idea.
Yeah, it was a really dumb idea because I ate too many. You know, because I do this in my act, so I don't want to do it on the podcast.
No.
But, you know, stuff happened. You can hear me live, and I'll talk all about
it. Go see Jeremy Shear.
Yeah.
at every show in the Northeast Ohio, if you walk into one, he might just be doing comedy there.
Yeah, pretty much that's how it works. You know what? I know we've talked about this before, but not on the podcast. What is the potential for work? To where you can, like, okay, now, like, I can actually contribute to the household when you're doing improv in Chicago.
In the city?
Yeah.
You could either be good enough that you get on something that's not even an improv show anymore, like Second City, or you teach classes.
Okay.
Pretty much those are the only two. Everything else would be like ancillary, like an acting role or something like that, like in a commercial.
Okay. You've done that before though, right?
Yeah.
Which
is another reason why this year every single thing I've auditioned for has gone horrible, and at some point I started turning everything in on myself.
Yeah. You just like, did I not trim my beard correctly for this role? Am I too fat? Am I too usually Midwestern for Chicago?
Usually the second one.
Oh, dude, if I ever, like, I've acted, like, twice, and if I, like, I would love to do it, but, like, I'd get the same, I'd be typecast immediately, be like, yeah, you're the fat, bald asshole friend. That's what you are.
You actually would be, like, for a commercial, you probably would not get as many, but the ones you would be, like, right for, you would probably book, like, immediately.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what that means, but I'll take it.
Marcy Ronan, if you're listening, you can find Jordan Patrick on Facebook. He might be the hot new face you're looking for.
Hey, I'll do it.
Like,
I'll...
you're not going to get many commercials. There's almost going to be like none that would fit.
Who uses me to sell something besides drugs?
But there's stuff that would say like bald guy with a goatee or tough looking bald guy or something like that. And they'd see you walk in and they'd be like, you don't even have to read. You're good.
That'd be perfect. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should move to Chicago.
They film a lot of commercials there.
Do they really?
Yeah.
All right, hey, man.
That's their industry is commercials. They Chicago? Don't have, like, film and television like L.A. or New York, but they shoot, like, 76% of all commercials that you see on TV.
No shit, really?
Because they think, because Hollywood people are very condescending, and they think you're more likely to find regular-looking people in Chicago.
Yeah. You don't get the models from New York or the actors or actresses from L.A. You just get people who want to be.
Yeah, so why aren't you a fucking commercial star? You're as regular as it gets.
Hey, I'm tall.
Chris Klem, the vanilla gorilla.
Why didn't you ever get into professional wrestling? You're a fan. You're big.
No, maybe I should have. That's another thing I think about. I just wasted my time doing all this.
Thanks for bringing it up, Jordan.
It's like, I don't know. I think it's too late now and I'm 31, but I thought that when I was 25. Maybe I should have listened to myself then.
How old? Braun Strowman's actually probably younger than the both of us. That's a shame.
I mean, he's probably not, but he's also not just like tall and big. He's like the tallest and the biggest guy.
He is.
Yeah. I think the one of my favorite Chris Klem memories is driving out to Alliance to watch Main Event World League Wrestling ran by Kamala Jr. There's a Kamala Jr.
Does he have his legs?
He does have his legs.
They're very stubby, though.
Very stubby. He's very over with the kids. And... So Chris, this is his first wrestling event that he is working as the ring announcer.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Christopher J. Worthing.
Yes.
It was key that the J is in there. But the best is, you know, the heels are like menacing him and he's having to beg off even though he's twice their size. Every single, even like the monster heels, Chris is twice their size.
That's fucking great, dude.
Chris
could have
gone.
Amazing.
Chris had to duck under the top rope. Yeah, he didn't have to.
That's how he'll beg off going to the rope. Like, get away from me, man.
Yeah.
I don't want none, man.
I don't want any trouble.
There's nothing like showing your fear from a 5'6" chubby dude.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, that was the best part of the night for me, is watching Chris beg off from these guys.
Oh,
that and watching somebody get like Ricky Morton heat. Because like all these teenage girls were nuts about the one guy that was in shape.
Johnny Gunn.
He had it. And these girls loved him, and he took a bump on the outside, and it was like,
They loved him.
Oh, it was that was great.
Yeah, that's what I want, a bunch of girls in Alliance after me.
I mean,
don't knock it, man.
Oh no, hey, dude. I would take anything at this point.
Okaga Falls is good enough. Alliance.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, you could have that right now.
We could just go to Alliance and just slay.
You could I can't. You could be the monster heel in that promotion.
Oh, that'd be great, dude. I've always wanted to get in as a manager, just because I don't want to work out. You know, but
neither did these guys.
No, no, but it's like every person that is quote unquote in the business in Cleveland, which. I don't want to say it's a joke because Johnny Gargano's not a joke, but they're all like, oh, yeah, no, you got to train to be a manager. And I'm like, why? Why? I could take a bump. I know I could take a bump.
You do have to train, and I'll tell you why, because on Chad Weaver's show that Chris and I did a couple weeks ago, Chris dressed up as the Macho Man Randy Savage, and I dressed up as former University of Akron president. And now I forget his name.
Scott Scarborough.
And I took two bumps, and then I walked upstairs like afterwards, and I was dying.
Really?
Just after taking two bumps. Two. Yeah. I took a chair shot, and I took a punch, and I flat-backed on both of them, and I was done.
You flat-backed on a chair shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to make the most impact.
All right. I dig it. I dig it. Was this not videotaped? Because he told me about it. I wanted to be there, but...
I asked Dylan Lusk.
Yeah. Dylan was shooting it. There was an action shot of Chris jumping off the stage to drop an elbow on me.
I heard about the elbow. Yeah. He told me.
Yep. There's a reason to hate yourself.
I feel like we gotta find this video and have this and post it with the episode.
Yeah,
it was bad.
I mean, it looked good from the back because you couldn't see me on the ground. So you couldn't tell that you jumped over me and then fell backwards. But, yeah.
Maybe we can send it to Botchamania. Yeah.
It depends on, like, where the camera's coming from. Cause,
totally true. From the back, it would be, you'd be like, oh, that's fine. That's
yeah, because we were getting mad heat on that.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I fucked up two of my spots. And
it was extra funny because it got over enough. With this crowd of like non-fans that it was supposed to be interrupting a comics act, and then she was supposed to like do commentary, and after like 10 seconds, it just turned to everybody watching us, including her.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Jasmine Carter that got interrupted. And
oh, no
was,
shit. Okay,
and she was
cool.
Like, fucking white people.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was wonderful. That whole show was good. Yeah. Why aren't you doing a show like that, though? Because, I mean...
you're right. I had done shows like that before. This is then truly the full circle. I guess I feel like nobody wants to do anything with me.
Hmm.
It's probably not true, but that's just how I feel.
Just looking at your resume, though, that's not the case. I mean, you have a national TV credit.
Not a real one.
I mean, it's more real than most of the fake credits that you see.
That's true.
I mean, you were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
You were?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. You won $100,000, and Meredith Vieira personally thanked him in a letter afterwards for being a great contestant. And he was a great contestant. And they sold it well. It was a good appearance on television. And, you know, if you have a copy of that still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's you being yourself, which, you know, you're selling anyway as a part of Stana. I don't see how you can't use that.
That's true.
And, you know, you're a level 9 improviser. You drove your ass all the way up to Detroit, like, all the fucking time.
That's why people are like, oh, what are you doing back in town? I was like, I used to drive 6 hours every weekend. Like, coming home once a month wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah. And, you know, you took all those classes. You were in, like, basically the only short-form group in Cleveland for as long as that existed. And you've gotten on some groups in Chicago. You headline at a club. You've opened for Mick Foley.
That's fucking rad.
Yeah, he was really cool too.
That's,
really
I mean, nice he seems guy. Like he's just the most down to earth fucking cool dude on the planet.
I can't watch him on Raw anymore though, because I saw how he was backstage, and then just knowing how much effort it took him. Well, he might be better now. He's lost a lot of weight, but knowing how much effort it took him to make it look like he can actually walk when really? He was in front of people. Yeah.
Well, he just came out today and said he has to have hip surgery.
When he was in the green room, he was like walking like a deer that'd been hit by a car.
Really?
Like, and then as soon as we got out of the back room, like the green room's way in the back behind the kitchen and stuff at the improv, and you go through this long area that winds, and there's lockers, and then there's these big double doors. And as soon as he was out past there, he was walking like a regular person, maybe like with a little bit of a limp. But then as soon as those doors closed, he was just like shaking. He was walking so bad.
Here's a reason to hate Chris Klemm. There's a video on Facebook of Chris doing an impression of that walk.
I guess I am a monster.
Bully column, check.
I was just trying, like, people don't get how hard it is for him. I'm on his side.
Yeah.
Oh, well, dude, if you're not on Mick Foley's side, the three of us will come to your house and beat the shit out of you.
He, this is like a sidebar, and I'm not trying to get off track, but he spent, we were there, the show ended at like 9, and or 8:30 because it started at 7, and he was there until 11:30 talking, signing autographs, taking pictures with every single person that was there, and it was sold out, so there was over 200 people, but he spent time with all of them, and he does that every single night, so I could never say anything bad about
him.
Oh
no,
dude, and people are like, oh, it's just an act, I bet he's an asshole. He's 100% not an asshole, probably the nicest person in any field of anything that was famous that I've ever met or worked with or done anything with ever.
Seems like a genuine,
not nice, like, exactly, genuine, because he's not nice just to be nice, like I gotta be nice. He's like genuinely,
yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen him, like, oh yeah, and for anybody who bitched about us talking about wrestling ever on the show, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Mick Foley rules. But like, it just seems like that he, like, because I've seen, and he's even posted, it was a couple, maybe a month or two ago, I don't know if you saw it, when he was actually interacting with a fan on Twitter, you know, direct messaging them. They were talking about women's wrestling and stuff. And, like, Foley stated his opinion, this person stated their opinion. And, like, as a fan, you'd think, like, oh, wow, this is really cool that he's fucking going back and forth with me, even though we disagree. That guy took the screenshots and fucking sent them to all the dirt sheet sites and was like, Mick Foley fucking doesn't care about this women's wrestler and this. Like, they just turned it around into something completely different. And he was like, hey, well, I'm sorry that ruined, like, that now ruined it for everybody. Now I'm not going to interact with people, like, as far as Twitter goes. And it's just like, somebody who's that fucking cool, like, why, like, for your little tiny minute of, like, I was the guy who leaked this? Leaked what, you fucking idiot? I don't know.
It's part of the culture, the call-out culture now, dude. You know, being that guy. And, hey, here's a reason not to hate yourself. You've never been a part of that.
Thank you, I guess. I guess the last thing I say to wrap your point up about Mick is that I had him sign a bunch of stuff like a stupid mark after the show,
yeah,
even though I had just opened for him, and he signed it all. It was super nice, and he signed a paper I wrote about him in college as Mick Foley, and I gave him a copy, which he emailed me later and said he loved. And he signed his book as, I think, Mick Foley again, but he signed the DVD with him as Cactus Jack on the cover as Cactus Jack.
Oh, that's fucking rad, dude.
Yeah, that's
I didn't awesome. Ask him to, like, say, give me different autographs. He's just like, oh, I'm Cactus Jack here. I'll autograph
that's it. That's really, Jack. Really cool, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You've had some good moments in stand-up.
So, like, is it just, is like, stand-up's just not on your agenda in Chicago?
I just, when I first moved, it was really hard on me, even though I had been planning it for a while, because I've never lived anywhere that wasn't out of Northeast Ohio. And my wife did not make the move at first because she kept her job until she could find another one. So for like 5 months, honestly, from February to July, I sat, there was one chair in the apartment and everything was still in boxes. I didn't really unpack anything. And I think after the first week, I went out every night the first week. And then after that, I don't think I left my apartment for like 2 months, except for when I needed to get groceries. And it was just really hard on me. And I just, I don't know. I don't know if I just internalized it all or what, but I was just not in a good spot.
Yeah. And to be alone at that, I mean, and you're completely alone too at that point, which just, that's not a good place to be in.
Well, I mean, but you know, now you're not completely alone out there. You know, there are a couple of expats that you get along with, a couple you don't.
But, Oh yeah. I was like, what? Who? Oh yeah, I remember.
Now I remember. Oh yeah, I remember.
Remember the people you don't like?
Oh yeah, I remember.
Remember the guy that said you couldn't have that? I remember.
Yeah. So I mean, there's and you know, a couple of those guys that you do like are, you know, are moving up in the world, so it's like actually being able to collaborate with them and produce something, which everything that I've like everybody that I've talked to out there, it seems like if you want to make an impact in stand up, you have to self produce your own shit anyway.
Yeah.
And it's not like you haven't done that before.
No, I have, but again, it's like it's I guess that's where all my problems are, is because I'm like, yeah, that'd be good. I should do that. And then I get really amped up to do it. And then when I don't do it, it just creates a bigger problem.
Yeah. So I think the answer is you fucking do it.
Wow. You're really cutting through all my bullshit today.
Pretty swell show, 2K17, is what I'm saying.
I call it something else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that brand's kind of... Well, I mean, you don't own it.
No, I don't. But it's I just saw him last week.
So you okay?
You got the Cavs cast, right? How long have you been doing that? On the Lousy Weather Media Network.
I guess it'll be two years in February.
Seems like you really enjoy doing that.
Yeah, because I like talking about the Cavs.
Understandably.
And I like doing weird jokes about the Cavs that I can't do any other place.
Any other place. It's like, this is my medium. And
I made a Zydrunas Ilgauskas motion comic, which I'm incredibly proud of. And people have either absolutely loved it or said, why is this 11 minutes long?
Yeah.
Wasn't his number 11?
Yeah.
That's great. There you go.
Yeah. I wish I planned that.
You just tell people that you did. Yeah. Anytime I do anything that's like, oh, shit, that was funny for this reason. Oh, but it's really funny for this. Yeah, I meant to do that.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
You got to own it, man.
Yeah. Not only have you been able to do cool shit like that on the podcast, but you've drawn people out of the woodwork and actually had them contribute to the
show.
That's
true.
Where they honestly have not contributed anywhere else. They're talented. But they just, you know, you brought John Hofner out of retirement.
I want him to do something else, and I had to try to get contact with him through two intermediaries this time because he's disappeared off of social media.
Yeah, he has, which is sad.
But he said he's willing to do what I asked him to if I can make it happen, which will just be a repeat of what we did last time.
Excellent. Looking forward to that.
I'm just more like a pitiful person.
See, well, you're directing your hate back on you. Fuck that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the point of this.
No, but I feel like he was working through some of it there for a minute, and now he's just like, but no, I'm just a pitiful fucking asshole. Which I get it. I'm the same way, but.
Pobrecito.
This is America.
Listen, Hordano.
Oh, Hordano.
Who's not even fucking Latino at all. At least not that I know of.
You could say you were.
Oh, dude. Oh, no. I used to have a joke about it I used to be able to pull it off.
My friend Matt is 100% white guy, but his sister looks so Latin that she worked at La Quinta, and whenever anybody would ask her a question, that like stayed there, she'd just go, "No hablo inglés." They would just be like, "Sorry, sorry to bother you."
Man, I wish I could pull that off with something.
And my sister is the whitest person alive, and she speaks Spanish very, like, beyond fluently, like 100%. Yeah. And people will trash talk her in Spanish, and she can hear everything they say. She's like a spy. I might have just blown her cover.
Yeah, well,
that's why I want to learn Spanish.
It's a good idea in this day and age to learn a little Espanol, but, you know, I don't want to...
Trump building the wall.
I mean, there is that.
Just,
You... I wish everybody could see what I saw right now. It was both sitting there like, oh, fuck.
Mm. Yeah.
It was a joke. Jesus Christ.
It just reminded me of why I hate everybody.
Yeah, same here. It just reminded me of everything I've been upset about the last week.
That's what I'm here for, guys.
Yeah. So here's some things not to be upset about.
Christmas arguments all over again.
Fortunately, my family all converted to liberalism once, you know, they realized, there's a mixed marriage happening, so all of our clan affiliations are going out the window, and...
My family itself is still conservative, but my actual immediate family, they are not Donald Trump supporters, so I don't care. But not my in-laws.
Yeah. That is hard to deal with. Whenever politics come up at work, I just like, can't say anything, and it's... You know, I yelled at one person.
I bet you didn't know that gun at Beechwood Mall was actually a coordinated terror plot.
I didn't know that.
I found that out yesterday.
Yeah, coordinated terror plot amongst the teenagers of the world.
Sorry.
Fantastic. No, the one person at work decided to speak up about how they're glad that... Obamacare is going away and Hillary's not going to win. And I screamed at her that Hillary Clinton is the reason that you have a job. And she was like, what? I said, you're a medical biller. Hillary Clinton created HMOs and basically created the system where, you know, FIs, fiscal intermediaries exist, where you bill them for government shit.
Sounds like you were talking to a pretty dumb person, though.
Yeah, I was talking to a pretty dumb person because I work in a, you know...
in a pretty dumb place. In a pretty dumb state.
The end of that line.
Yeah. So it's just what it was. But at any rate, we're not here to talk about why I hate my job.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, which would probably be a bad idea since I just told them to listen to the podcast.
Don't worry, we're like 4 weeks out. They'll be done in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. No. The ladies, I love you. I'm the only man that works on my side of the office, too. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bitch.
That is not what I meant.
That explains a lot about your marriage.
Yeah. Well, you know, we take turns.
Oh, okay. You're very generous.
I'm a very generous lover. And Anthony gets drunk, so... Yeah. But, so...
It's like you live with a full-time drunk and work with a part-time drunk.
Yep.
It's great.
That is basically my life.
That is your life, dude. Mm-hmm. Does he habitually smoke pot?
No.
Okay, I do.
Anthony does not.
I make up for one with the other, you know? Mm.
So, what we have learned from this podcast is get off your ass and do something with your life in Chicago, you fat faggot.
And maybe you won't hate yourself as much. Dude, there's nowhere to go. You can't turn around.
I'm just looking into Urkel's eyes right now.
Yeah, you see that? You see that man? You see everything that he had to...
Do you see Stefan in that man? You can be Stefan. Stop being Urkel and be Stefan.
This is like the best Dr. Phil episode ever.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for coming on the program with us today.
So you say I will probably hate myself less if I feel like I'm actually accomplishing something.
Yes. You... Not feel like you're accomplishing something, actually accomplishing something.
If I accomplish something, I won't hate myself as much. And if I don't hate myself as much, I will accomplish more. And then I'll feel fulfilled.
Yes. And you will be a monster heel that cannot be stopped.
Dude, we have a new heel tag team right now. It's with the Freebird rule. The Freebird rule, dude. We got a three-piece thing going on here, and I like it.
I call no Buddy Rogers.
I guess I'm Bam Bam.
I'll be Michael Hayes. I don't care, dude.
P.S. El Hordano.
Purely sexy. No, nobody's ever said that to me before, Chris. A reason to love yourself. You're a nice guy.
I am a nice guy. I could see why I should like myself, but I also have to live with my brain, so it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard out here when you have to live with your brain.
Okay, every once in a while I say what's going to go on your gravestone. That is going on your fucking gravestone, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is if there's enough of my body to recover.
Dude, how are you going to die? Damn.
Well, Tabitha said she's going to murder me, so.
Really?
Yeah.
If she touches you, I'll kill her.
No, don't kill her. Like, you know, it's basically a murder pact.
Oh, okay.
You'll handle that. I said, I'm gonna die because somebody's going to shoot me, and Tabitha volunteered.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, Chris Klemm, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely,
with us.
Absolutely, thank you for coming.
Thanks.
On.
I feel like I have a new direction for my life. And then if I don't follow it, I'll be letting you down.
Me and the hundreds of listeners on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Before we go, big shout out to Pete here at Milky Way Recordings. He does the recording. He does the mixing, producing, all the stuff that I hate doing. Pete does, and he's good at it. Email him Pete at Milky Way Recordings. He does a lot of sound work. Get a hold of them for your needs. Also, shout out to Sam Holmes, who designed our logo. That's you can follow her on the gram. That's Sam Holmes, like you live in, not Holmes that you hang out with. And, of course, the Lousy Weather Media Network and our sponsor, Rain Clothing.
R-A-N-E.
Yeah, Rain Clothing. You can check out their roster of bands on Facebook. They're on a mission for music. And, of course, check out the C4 podcast on the Lousy Weather Media Network. They have way more listens than us, and I'm jealous.
I'm sure it's going to even itself out eventually.
It might be a minute.
Yeah, in a year or two, if Sean and Co. likes to keep us on that long. I'm just waiting for the day that they're like, you're done. You guys are done, dude.
Well, I don't see that happening.
I don't think so either. Those guys are great.
We hate ourselves, too.
We should all just end this show by killing each other.
Dude,
beat Tabitha to the punch.
All right. Well, Hordano, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Chris Klemm as much as Chris Klemm.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me numbing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniel's in drunkenness. I keep my bruise and my brain and under the punches. And I was meant to pay.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.